Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast. I am your favorite sister, Caitlin.
And I am going to be performing a poem today for you. My name is Whitney, and I will be reading from Landscapes and Hearts, first published by Young Welsh and Poetic in 2007, second edition by K.S. Moore. And this poem is a surprise to you and a surprise to me, but it is called Spider Nut. Aren't you excited?
What is this?
Gonna get a little bit nutty up in here, folks. But I present to you my reading of Spider Nut. Crustaceous spider, squat in your web of long spinning threads. Graying hair, thinning hair, fine, slick, aged. Licorice legs and a walnut shell. You could be prehistoric. You could be a crab. Who has tired of the grainy shore, the glucose whirl of gluey sea that spat in your veins till it spread? You are a story. Dried up spider, hard as knuckles, true as oak. When you launch, your rope is an acrobat's bearing, pushing your weight down, your bodily bomb down. Nutty as a tree fall. Remember me, queen arachnid descending, your fangs wet with thirst. I admire you, esteem you, your pineapple steel. When you fall, I will run for my life. The end.
I have a few questions.
No, you don't get to ask questions about the spider nut. The spider nut is what it is, and it is beautiful.
Is it about a spider, a crab, or nuts?
Don't ask questions.
I loved it. It's beautiful. Brought a tear to my eye.
I got a little confused when it started talking about pineapple.
I was going to say that too.
But I do like the part where...
The arachnid queen.
The last part. Queen arachnid queen descending, arachnid. Your fangs wet with thirst. I admire you, esteem still, your pineapple steel. When you fall, I will run for my life. That describes you in spiders, does it not?
I hate spiders.
Do they give you the creeps?
Yeah. Okay. Long story short. When I was younger, my nickname was Bug. That was a small influence. Yes?
Your name's still Bug.
Yeah, that's true to some.
Me and a lot of my friends and I, if we're using proper grammar, call you Bug a lot of the time.
Yeah. And I think that came from Katie Bug. Too many Caitlins that we knew. Too many Katies. So I just got called Bug. Mm-hmm. And now our podcast is called Bug in a Rug. But I have a confession, people.
What?
Bugs?
What?
Creep me out.
You don't... Wait a minute. I've been calling you Bug since you were a wee tot.
Oh, don't pretend like you don't know I'm scared of bugs.
I know you're scared of bugs, but now we're announcing it to the world.
Yeah, but now I have to work with them. And, like, I'm not as scared, but I still... don't love it. But if I was on Fear Factor and I was gonna win that money, you know I would eat or let bugs crawl all over me.
If you read them this poem, I'm sure they'd be your friends.
Yeah, they would sit there and clap.
So do you, I'm sure you do, but my question is, do you know the difference between insects and arachnids?
Insects? Well, arachnids are... spiders.
Well, yes, spiders are arachnids, but arachnids are not necessarily spiders.
I should know this, but I don't know a lot about
bugs.
That's
okay.
So I try to avoid the topic.
There are many kinds of insects, a lot of which have six legs and three body segments.
Yes.
Whereas arachnids, which include scorpions, mites, ticks, and daddy long legs, which I thought were the same as spiders. Mm-mm. Oh, also spiders. But they're different. Daddy long legs are their own thing. But they are all arachnids, which have two body parts.
Yep. Okay.
Two body segments. Some type of thorax and then a separate segment, it doesn't matter
that
much.
Their head and butt.
Their head and their butt. That's good. I like that. Arachnids have a head and a butt. Eight legs. And they... Do you know what else? Do you know what else? They can't chew.
Well.
No. Mm-mm. The fact that I have says two body parts, eight legs, can't chew. You know, the ones that give everyone the creepy crawlies.
They can't chew. Well, a lot of them...
I think they tear things off with their mandibles.
Probably.
But I think they tear. I don't think they... Chew. They probably they waller have, it like, around in their mouth.
Like we do.
No, they like waller it around in there, I'm sure.
Well, but spiders put things in webs to like... Essentially, like, disintegrate them, kind of, right?
And then they, like, suck out the juice, some, right?
I don't know.
Was that real, or is that Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. It's also in Trolls. She gets wrapped up in webs.
Do you think it's real, though? That they wait till it disintegrates, and then they... I didn't look that much up.
I don't know. Should we look it up?
I don't know. Well, you look it up in real time while I tell you that, yes, spiders give you the creeps, but you are not alone, because one of the most... well-known fears.
Yes, I think I was right. Most spiders don't eat their prey whole. Instead, they expel digestive enzymes onto or into the animal to liquefy it. And then they just drink it. They got little tiny straws in their pocket.
Oh my gosh, they make smoothies.
Uh-huh.
They're on a liquid diet. Liquid diet. Some people do that, but it makes a bad bathroom time.
I couldn't do it. I like candy too much.
I like chewing. I think my teeth are here for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't want a bad bathroom time from my liquid diet. So, anyway, now that we know, two body parts, eight legs, can't chew, liquefy their prey. Stick in a straw, metal straw, hopefully.
Save the planet. Save the turtles.
Anyway, give everyone the creepy collies. One of the most popular, not popular, but one of the most well-known phobias is
arachnophobia,
which is the unreasonable fear of spiders and other arachnids. Now, I would love to know.
I'm like itching all over. I think I have spiders on me. Go ahead.
Do you want me to check?
No, hang on. It's fine. I'm good. I'm good. I'm okay.
None there. Anyway. But it's called the unreasonable fear of spiders and other arachnids. I would love to know what is so unreasonable about being scared of spiders and arachnids.
Well, they're most likely not going to hurt you, I guess, but...
But they could. And what's really interesting is while I was looking up the topic for today, what I was looking at is spiders and arachnids, and what I want to do is kind of give you a little background on, like, the science.
Sure.
But I also want to give you three urban legends, and I want you to digest that a little bit. You can liquefy it first if you want.
Let me go get my straw.
I'll get you a metal straw. But I want to talk about, you know, why people are afraid of spiders, and then see, after these urban legends, if you still think that they will keep you up at night, or if you'll be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
No, they'll still keep me up at night.
Okay, well, I will.
I will have dreams about spiders tonight.
I've been dreaming about spiders. We were sitting on the couch, I think it was two nights ago, and we were researching topics for this week's podcast, and I kept showing Caitlin pictures of spiders that I saw and going, who is she?
Look at her. Kept not looking.
She didn't want to look, but they were beautiful. There are some spiders.
Spiders are very cute. Spiders can be cute when they're in pictures, not when they're near me. There you go. How about that?
Well, one of my favorite spiders, and I know that this is beside the point, but it's called Avicularia avicularia, and it's the pink-footed spider or pink-toed tarantula, and I love them. I'll show you a picture.
They have little boots on?
They have little tiny pink feet.
Okay, that's really cute.
And, like, the rest of them are, like, a darker color, but they have little tiny pink feet, and yes, we will post a picture so you can all see the cute little pink-footed tarantula.
Heck yeah.
Avicularia, sometimes called the pink-toed tarantula.
I like
that. Native to Costa Rica and Brazil, Southern Caribbean, so not here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, they can be, not that I would necessarily want one as a pet, but they can be fine to look at from a distance.
Yeah, we have a tarantula at the zoo.
Right, and I think our Aunt Pam, shout out Aunt Pam, I know she listens to some of our podcasts, episodes, but she had a tarantula as a pet once.
Yeah.
I don't know how long ago or how long she kept it for, but I know that she had a pet at one time that was a tarantula, and now she's graduated to the more sophisticated feline companions, such as we have in our apartment.
Yep.
Here. So anyway,
ferrets are still the best pet.
We did have a ferret growing up, and it was pretty great. Not an arachnid.
No.
Not a nut either, so not related to this particular podcast.
Interesting.
Although the nutty part is over. We did have hermit crabs, yes. Okay. Anyway, so scientists have looked into why people are so afraid of spiders.
Okay.
And the scientists at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences, or MPI-CBS, in Leipzig.
Sure.
And the Uppsala University in Sweden, are in Sweden, they made an observation which they claim is very crucial to the way we think about spiders and other arachnids.
Okay.
They said that they did a study, and even infants show a stress reaction when they see a spider or a snake, even as early as 6 months old, where they're still immobile and can't really, like, crawl away.
Right.
And they've... most, if not all, have not been exposed to these animals to know that they're dangerous.
Right.
But they said, quote, when we showed pictures of a snake or a spider to these babies instead of a flower or a fish of the same size and color, they reacted with significantly bigger pupils, says the lead investigator and neuroscientist at the University of Vienna. But he is the one who conducted this study.
Right.
And he said, quote, in constant light conditions, this change in size of pupils is an important signal for the activation of a noradrenergic system in the brain, which is responsible for stress reactions. Accordingly, even the youngest babies seem stressed out by these groups of animals. Mm. So what they basically found is that you can show a small baby as soon as they can see, because their eyes are pretty bad when they're born.
Right.
But as soon as they're able to see, even before they can crawl or they've been exposed to snakes, spiders, other arachnids, if you show them a picture of it compared to a flower, they are stressed out and anxious immediately when it comes to...
I wonder if it's part of, like... are instincts that, like, spiders and snakes could be venomous,
so that
hurt us.
Absolutely. And that's one of the other things that they said in this study, was that, you know, spiders and snakes are creatures that have been next to humans and evolving with humans for millions and millions of years. More than 40 to 60 million years, according to the study.
Right.
Our ancestors could have been dealing with these creatures, and that's much longer than basically any of today's mammals that would face. So, like, a deer, or, well, deers aren't predators, but bears or tigers and whatnot, babies don't have that instinctually imprinted into their brains, because our ancestors didn't necessarily deal with the same types of mammals that we do today.
Yeah. Well, also, you can hide better from that stuff. I feel like spiders and snakes can just jump out and get you. And I feel like stuff like bears or other things can be related towards, like, animals that you can have as pets. So, like, they're both fluffy, like a bear. I know they don't look the same, but, like, a bear and a cat, they're both fluffy. You know, they look fuzzy, they look cuddly, as compared to a snake that doesn't look as
absolutely
cute.
Right, absolutely. And one of the other things that they said in this study, which I found was interesting, was just like with mammals who haven't been around for a long period of time, things, everyday risks for babies, such as poking their fingers into a light socket, which I put dad's keys in the light socket. He will tell you. Ask him. I'm sure he remembers when I'm putting keys in a light socket, things like knives, syringes, and sockets. Probably the same situation as mammals. These things haven't been around long enough in the scheme of, you know, human existence in order for the brain to embed, for human experience to embed in the brain this natural fear.
Right. You don't relate it to, like, danger. You relate snakes and spiders to danger.
Exactly. Naturally. Which is interesting to me, because, you know, who thinks that that's something that, you know, even babies react to.
Right, right. Well, and I bet now, like, people that aren't afraid of snakes or spiders, which I like snakes. Snakes are fine. I don't mind spiders. I'm getting over it. I think that could be that us kind of getting out of that, because now we don't really see snakes and spiders as, like, such a deadly threat as we did.
Absolutely.
Then.
Well, we have, you know, shelters that are protecting us, but also I don't know if it's such that they're not necessarily afraid, because it's not so much about fear as recognizing this is a dangerous animal.
But I can handle it anyway.
Right, I can handle it, although I am wary, and I recognize the fact that it could bring me harm,
that
which is
sense.
The natural part in the brain.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, that's the science behind what I want to talk about today and what I really want to bring to the podcast, bring to the table on which we record the podcast.
Yes, I'm ready.
Are some urban legends that are talk about spiders.
We eat 21 spiders in a year in our sleep.
Yeah, especially people that sleep with them. I wonder if the number like doubles or triples.
I don't, if 21's not right. I made that up.
I wonder if the, I wonder how many dad eats since he snores.
Yeah, but he
shakes the whole house.
Yeah, but that's a scary noise. I don't think spiders would be like, yeah, let's go on this giant mound.
How well do you think that they hear, though? Because I thought they, like, no, used but vibrations. Vibrate.
Yeah, oh, they're the going to get house, on him, and he's going to...
The whole house like, vibrates.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
The whole house vibrates. That's another discussion, though. Dad vibrating the house with his snores. He's going to be mad.
I just want to say that Winnie said all that, and I didn't.
He knows it's true. We won't discuss mom snoring.
Stop. Oh, no.
I'm in so much trouble. Anyway, back to the podcast. I want to talk about three urban legends, the first of which I've seen in many places. Now, these aren't really in any particular order.
Okay.
Except for the last one, but I'll tell you why when we get to it.
Okay.
But the first one is called the hairdo.
Oh, no.
Now, yeah, absolutely. So, in the 1960s, beehive hairdos were all the rage. Now, no, people didn't put beehives on their heads, but anybody who's seen pictures from the 60s will recognize the straight up and down kind of...
It's like round. It looks like a beehive.
It looks like a beehive on someone's head, but
like
that's just
how... Like a cartoon beehive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's just how people styled their hair. Women styled their hair back then. Now, today we're talking about a woman named... We'll call her...
Tina.
Okay. We'll use the name Tina for the purposes of the story.
Are you changing the name, or is this the urban legend just say?
They're just urban legends. Okay. So the name tends to change depending on who tells the story, okay. So we're picking Tina.
Tina.
So Tina lived in the 1960s.
Tina, you fat lard, come get some dinner.
Oh, Napoleon Dynamite, yes.
Anyway, Tina lived in the 1960s.
She was in the 1960s. Beehive hairdos were all the rage.
Okay.
Tina would go and get her hair done every 3 months up in this beehive hairdo. She couldn't afford to do it too often. So every 3 months she would go and get it all done up, go to the salon. It took a lot of money to get it to stay like that. So her hairdresser taught her all the very important steps to get it to stay pristine.
Wait, so she'd get it done and just, like, leave it in that shape?
So says the legend.
Okay.
So, she refused to wash it. That's part of the legend, how it goes. So, every morning, she would hairspray it.
Right.
Put all the loose pieces back in place.
Yes.
And then at night, she would wrap it in toilet paper, which we've seen pictures of that. How people wrap their curls, but she'd wrap it in toilet paper.
Yeah, sure.
Eventually, it became like a fortress on top of her head. You could knock on that thing. And you'd probably hurt your hand.
Right.
It was
so much hairspray.
Right.
It's like cement.
Exactly. It was cemented on top of her head.
Yeah.
But she was diligent about following the hairdresser's instructions and keeping her hair pristine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
One morning, Tina woke up and she had a really red, painful sore on her arm. And she's like, this is not right. It hurts. You know, I've never seen anything like this before. So she rushed to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, you've been bitten by a spider, and I think it's actually a black widow spider.
Oh, my God.
Which is really dangerous. Now, I didn't look at what kind of reactions people actually have to black widow spiders. I know that they're one of the more poisonous ones.
Can't you die?
You can die. Yeah, you can die from a black widow spider, which makes me think that this was probably a more mild reaction.
Right.
The first
time.
Or
it wasn't a black widow.
Or it wasn't a black widow. But that's what the story says in order to make it, you know, a little more creepy.
Right.
So anyway,
oh, no, this is a true story.
Urban legends. Legends could be true. It could be based on something true.
True. Okay.
The hairdo is true. I don't know about Tina. I'm sure there was a woman named Tina who lived in the 1960s
that
and had a
beehive
hairdo.
Yeah.
Pristine
beehive
hairdo.
Yeah.
Now, she went back home. And she returned 2 days later with more bites. The doctor said, listen to me. You cannot have more bites like this. You're going to get extremely sick. This is a very poisonous spider.
Yeah.
I think your house must be infested if you've had more bites within a couple days.
Yeah.
So Tina called the exterminator. She called the exterminator. She said, you have to get over here right now. I have an infestation of black widows. According to my doctor, I've been bitten. So the exterminator comes, has her leave the house, fumigates the whole house, does what exterminators do.
Yeah.
So, she had the exterminator come clear her house, and the next morning she awoke up and she saw spider webs again, back all over the corners, no. You know, behind the bed. And she calls the exterminator and says, you didn't do a good job because now the webs are back. There's webs everywhere, uh-huh. Which I don't really think there were before, but now there's webs everywhere. Uh-huh. He said, that's probably impossible. I'm pretty sure I put enough poison in that apartment to kill everything.
Oh, no.
So Tina's in trouble because
the exterminator says, I'm itching.
I know. The exterminator says, well, I can't come back till tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I will come back and I will bring enough poison to kill them all again, even though I'm pretty sure I did the first time.
Right.
Well, Tina wakes up and she feels something tickling her face. And she's like, screams and she's like running around trying to get it off, you know, batting her face. I punch myself, like trying to get it off.
Yeah.
But it's a spider. And she, realizes that it came out of her hair somehow.
Oh, God.
And she goes, oh my gosh, they must be in my hair.
No.
So she starts unwrapping it, but she's like, it's a fortress, right? She can't get it out. So she runs down the street to the salon where the hairdresser is.
Yeah.
And the hairdresser's like, listen, I'm busy. I got somebody in my chair right now. Like, what do you want from me? And she pulled the lady out of the chair that was sitting there and said, there are spiders in my hair. You have to help me.
Ew.
So, the hairdresser's like, oh my gosh, okay. So they start unwrapping her hair. And spiders start spilling out of this fortress on her
head. First of all, if I was the hairdresser, I'd be like, you know what? Let's do this outside on the sidewalk.
Out on the sidewalk. Well, so she starts unwrapping it and spiders start spilling down her head. Onto her shoulders. Customers run out of the store. The hairdresser's gone out the door. And so Tina grabs a pair of clippers that are sitting on the
counter. Oh, yeah. You just got to get rid of them.
And just shaves her entire head.
You
got to. Takes the PI bath off. It hits the floor and it just explodes with spiders crawling everywhere, flooding the place.
I'm so itchy.
But that's the end of that one.
Oh, God.
I know. I know. That's terrible. It's a horrible way. This is why I started with a fun poem. But, I mean, that's, you know, something that really scared people, especially, I don't know when the story was necessarily popular, but probably in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, someone probably saw a bug in their hair one time and was like, oh, my gosh, what if it was a spider?
True.
And that evolves to, what if it was a black widow?
Yeah.
What if it was a whole bunch of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was really scary.
Yeah.
Thing to think about then.
Shave my head right now, just in case.
Just in case. Well, I don't use hairspray, but I think shaving your head's just an extra precautionary
step. Extra precaution.
Shave the cats too.
I mean, I want a naked cat, but
we can have two naked cats if we start now.
Stop.
Okay, so take a breath.
I'm ready.
We're gonna start with the second legend.
Is it worse or better?
You've heard this one before.
Okay.
So this one, it was in a book that we read at one point in time. Yes, and she's looking at me with this look of realization because she knows what I'm talking about. And this is actually what inspired me to do this.
Yes, I'm still itchy.
I know. I'm like trying to. I've been itchy all week.
I'm itchy.
But it's called the Yucca legend, or also the spider and the cactus. A yucca is a type of plant, and it has a long, thick stem. Mm-hmm. To me, it looks kind of like bamboo, and then it has, like, kind of palms on the top. We can post a picture of it.
Sure.
Later. But basically, the yucca legend goes, and it could be a cactus, depending on where you hear the story from.
Yeah.
But basically, a lady buys a cactus at a local nursery. The cactus is imported from Central America. She thinks it's very unique. You know, it's something foreign.
We love cacti.
Right, absolutely. Our apartment's covered in succulents.
Yeah, I'd buy one probably. Not now, but
Kroger has some really nice ones, right? Actually, we should go.
No, not succulents. I meant the yucca.
Yucca? Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, I'll show you
No, not after this.
Not after this, no. So, anyway, she brings it home to her apartment, and she's taking care of it, and she waters it, and she swears it's, like, kind of making a weird creaking noise.
Ew. Oh, my God, no. It's alive.
Yes, and then it gets up and does a little jig and runs out the door.
The hills are alive with the sound of spiders. Ooh.
We haven't even gotten there yet.
Oh, I'm just
assuming. I thought
you were
going to say with the sound of succulents, which I like much better.
Oh, that would have gone. Ugh, darn it.
Anyway, my throat's getting dry because I'm getting so excited about this. Anyway, she swears she hears it creaking, and despite her best efforts, and she waters it, and she probably watered it too much, but it dies.
Okay.
Is what some legends say, that the plant actually dies, but she swears, you know, I'm watering it, and it's kind of moving.
And she was like, I'm going to keep it, because when you water plants, they're not supposed to move.
It was said to have hissed, squeaked, shaken, quivered, quaked, and even screamed when watered, depending on which account you were looking at.
And she kept it.
Yeah, well, she was lonely.
Jeez.
Needed something to shake things up a bit.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, she calls the nursery where she bought the plant. She's like, hey,
is my plant weird. Supposed to cry and scream?
Is it supposed to be, you know, I might take it on so you think you can dance if it keeps this up.
Yeah.
It did a little shimmy yesterday when I watered it.
10 out of 10.
And anyway, when she calls the nursery, they say, oh, my gosh, get out of the house. Take any of your pets, take any children, anything alive, and get out of there. She's like, oh, okay. So she leaves, and some accounts say that, the nursery calls the bomb squad. Some say that they call the fire department. Some say that they just come over themselves and they rush in because they're trying to take the cactus out of the apartment. But before they can, it explodes.
Ew.
And millions of baby spiders come rushing out of the cactus.
I'm so itchy. I'm so itchy.
Right. And that's basically the end of that legend, but there's variations where it's not spiders, but scorpions.
Okay, that's still just as bad.
There's some, the one that I read that was even worse was that she actually returns the plant to the nursery so they can look at it and tell her what they think's wrong, and they find a dead male tarantula, and they call her and say, get out of the apartment, get out right now, because wherever there's a dead male tarantula, there is most likely a female who has eggs. And when they go to search the apartment, they find a female and all the eggs that hatch and explode in the duvet cover of the bed.
Oh, God, I'm so itchy. I can't do this.
Now, what's really interesting to me about these variations is if you go back and look at all these variations, almost all of them use Frank's nursery or a nursery called M&S as the
place where
she got the cactus, which I think is interesting.
Frank's,
I'm not sure,
or M&S?
Yeah, M&S stands for something, but I don't remember what, and it was something really long that I couldn't pronounce.
Oh.
So anyway, so they think that the origins of this particular legend were from Great Britain and Scandinavia in the 1970s.
Okay.
And circulated in the United States around the 1980s as the yucca instead of the cactus in Scandinavia, because for Scandinavians this was more worrisome.
Okay.
Because yuccas have a really strange stem/trunk.
Right.
That's probably about a dollar coin size around.
Okay.
According to the pictures I saw, and they can't really tell if they're hollow by looking at them.
Oh, so it's like it could have been.
In their minds, you know, it was. The eggs were inside trunk.
Okay.
So that's why they kind of found it a little more worrisome. And for some reasons, yuccas were very popular in Scandinavia during that time.
I'm so itchy right now. I can't.
One more story.
I don't think
one
I can
more
make
story.
It.
You can do it.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
So this one, I'm just going to be a little brief with it because it was in another language originally.
Okay.
But it is called, it's about a deal with the devil. And they think that this is one of the original, it just shows that it was something that a lot of people dealt with as far as fears and legends inside of different cultures.
They dealt with the devil a lot.
They might have.
True. Maybe. We don't know.
Okay, anyway. All right, I'm going to tell you my version.
Okay.
So, in 1842, Jeremias Gotthelf wrote
Try and pronounce it seriously.
Gotthelf, G-O-T-T-H-E-L-F.
Thank you.
Jeremias, J-E-R-E-M-I-A-S, Gotthelf, G-O-T-T-H-E-L-F, wrote a story called Die Schwarze Spinne, D-I-E-S-C-H-W-A-R-Z-E-S-P-I-N-N-E. And I'm not entirely sure what that translates to, because I don't know what language it was in.
Did you Google translate it?
German to the black spider. So, the story was originally in German and translated to the... I'm sorry, if you could... You're the one that took German, you should have read it. You should have known by my pronunciation.
Well, I assumed spin was something with a spider, because I just thought it was like spin a web or something.
How do you say black in German?
Oof, I don't know. Schwarze?
Or die? I don't know. It doesn't matter. In 1842, this man wrote the tale of the black spider.
Okay.
So the tale goes that villagers make a deal with the devil for one reason or another.
Okay.
It doesn't really specify why, but they make a deal with the devil.
That happens.
And the devil seals the deal with a kiss on a woman's cheek.
Oh.
Eventually.
Not as risque as I thought.
No. Ooh. The villagers break the deal and cheat the devil. And as a result, although they don't quite realize it at first, the woman's who he kissed, the devil kissed, I won't gender the devil, the woman who the devil kissed started to have a red mark on her cheek, and it started to become painful, and eventually the center turned black. The doctor couldn't figure out why or what was going on, and eventually the woman dies. And once she dies, they're getting ready to, like, take care of her body. And a spider comes through her cheek, the wound in her cheek, and crawls out. And they can't catch it. It, like, runs away. Now, the very next day, you know, they've taken care of her body, whatever. But her closest next-door neighbor is seen with a similar mark on their cheek.
Oh, no.
And eventually, one by one, each person in the village dies.
Yeah.
And this spider comes out of their cheek, and it moves to the next person, and the next person dies, and is said to be the curse that the devil put on them for cheating him in the first place.
You shouldn't cheat the devil.
Now, the reason that I wanted to put this story in and talk about it at the end is because we watched a movie recently.
Yes, we did.
Which was a version of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes, we did.
Which was a book we read as kids, but they made a movie version.
Yeah.
And we just went to see it recently with our friend Jack, and he had not read the books before, but in one part, there's a girl, and she has this pimple on her cheek, and they're like, don't mess with it, girl.
It'll go
she
away.
She keeps messing with it, and yeah. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually she tries to pop it, and a little leg comes out.
No,
and it starts moving around, and eventually there's spiders pouring out of her face, and it's disgusting.
Yes.
But
I can't.
It's interesting that particular story goes back to 1842.
Yeah, I was going to say that was probably definitely based on this one. Some sort of.
It had to have been similar to this original. Well,
oof, I don't like it. I closed my eyes in that part because I can't do it.
It's scary.
I can't do it. I'm so itchy right now.
But, I mean, that's the most common urban legends, most...
Yeah.
They have the most variations.
I've definitely heard of the plant one and the face one before. I'd never heard of the beehive one, but that actually makes a lot of sense. Like the style that it was and stuff, that would be a story. So I like that one too.
Now, you know what earwigs are, right? You know, we're talking about we called them pincher bugs when we were growing.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily arachnids, but one of the stories that I read, which related to... They compared it to the last one that I talked about, the black spider.
Mm-hmm.
And in this story, you know, it's the same thing, but this little man keeps finding... he keeps finding these things around his house, and he keeps cleaning out the house, but he also has these little bumps on him.
Yeah.
And basically, they figure out that he has... a bump on his head that's growing, and he just, like, thought it had been there forever, but it's growing and growing, and they cut it open, and earwigs spill out.
God,
and it's just so gross, and it's from,
so
you know, 1991, so you're just like, you know, these stories have been around for probably hundreds of years, and it all dates back to, you know, I almost wonder if it's part of what's keeping this the rational fear of arachnids that could harm us alive within, like, our instincts.
Yeah, I'm sure this definitely has something to do with it. Because, like, I'm not necessarily afraid of spiders when they're just hanging out. But, like, the thought of one of them laying babies inside of me, my face, or one of my plants, and then it exploding and hundreds of spiders crawling everywhere, that is where what I don't like.
That's where you draw the line.
That's where I draw the line.
Now, what I always had the fear of when I was little, and I kind of still do now, was of a bug getting in my ear.
Yeah.
But, like, particularly a spider.
Ooh, yeah.
And, like, not being able to get it out. And I just did a rotation with little kids, a pediatrics rotation. And one of the things that I was reading about as I studied was, like, what to do if a kid sticks something up their nose, yeah, or they have something in their ear. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is, if you think there's a foreign body in their ear, you have to be very careful, because it could be they put something in there, or it could be a bug.
Yeah.
And if you put something in the ear to get it out, you could crush it, or you could cause the bug to bite them because it's scared.
Yeah.
But you could cause them to be bitten.
Yeah.
And that's one reason why you have to be very careful. And a lot of times with little kids, if there's something in their ear, mm-hmm, you have to sedate them, like put them under anesthesia, and then go in there and get out whatever's in, yeah, there. Because if they get bit, they're not going to let you continue to try and, yeah, get it out.
That makes sense. That reminds me of the stories of, like, people that have leeches in their nose. They have to, like, pull the leeches out. Or there was a story on, like, Untold Stories of the ER or something like that. And this, mm-hmm, lady had, like, bugs in her, like, back. And they had to, like, pull them out, essentially. They were, like, little worms. I don't know what kind they were.
I mean, I would love to get into the creepy crawlies as far as, like, maggots. But they've been used for, like, thousands and thousands of years as wound treatment. And some places still use them today because they are one of the best. They will eat dead tissue but will not eat healthy tissue.
I don't want them on me.
I don't want them on me either, but I think it would be a very interesting thing. Maybe not for you, because I know it freaks you out, but to me it's really interesting to think about that this is something that, you know, we've used for thousands of years, and yet it's still...
Oh my god.
Not necessarily...
Cat nose touched my toe and I got freaked out. I'm sorry.
Did you think it was a spider? Ellie, did you think it was a spider?
No, that would be really interesting. The only time I want to deal with bugs, though, is, again, if I'm on Fear Factor and I'm trying to win that money.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. I just think it would be, I mean, for me personally, it'd be very interesting to talk about just different kinds of insects have been used in
medicine.
In medicine and for good things, well, even though.
Leeches, too, right?
And, well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily good, but it's been used for thousands of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But, yeah, I mean, not all bugs are bad, and
no,
most bugs
ever
have a purpose,
yeah,
in the environment and as,
absolutely,
part of the ecosystem.
Try and put the bugs outside. Don't try and just kill,
right,
them.
Right. That's what I try to do, unless it's a stink bug. I flush them. Flush them. Not always. Most of the time I put them outside. If I can't get them outside, then I flush them. But usually, you know, I try not to squish them because, you know, we're in their home as much as they're in ours. They think they're our roommates.
Yeah,
they think
just
we're
don't
all
pay
buds.
Rent.
They don't pay rent. They eat other bugs for us.
Neither do
spiders.
These cats, though, so.
They pay us with love and affection. Ellie pays in headbutts. Cooper pays in entertainment.
That's true. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, so that's all I have for you today. So I guess that it's time for me to ask you. Do you think the creepy crawly spider story will keep you up at night? Or will you still be able to sleep as snug as an arachnid / bug in a rug?
Nope, I'm going to stay up at night. I'm going to have dreams about this. And, like, I'll dream about bugs. And I'm literally, like, in the middle of a dream. I'm like, I don't want to think about this anymore because I don't like bugs. And I'll wake myself up. But then I'll fall back to sleep and I'll still dream about bugs. And then I'll wake myself up. It's an ongoing process.
You'll probably swallow at least one tonight.
That's fine. As long as I don't know. I'm fine with that.
What do you think it's like for them? Do you think it's like a Jonah and the whale situation when they get swallowed by us?
And then they die in our acid.
I thought you were going to say, and then they die in our ass. I don't know.
No, I did have stomach
you
acid.
Acid,
but,
that makes more sense.
We went two different directions.
Well, same direction. I was just a little further along the canal.
That's true. That's true.
But you're right. If a spider made it through the stomach acid all the way to the ass, that's one. He'd have a nutshell as the hard as a nut. A walnut shell.
Oh, my goodness.
They are prehistoric. I'm going back. And hard as knuckles. True as an oak.
Oh, goodness me.
If you liked our poem, we'll be posting it on the website, but I might also post a picture of it on either Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. With, of course, what's the word?
I don't know. Author?
Resource.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, we will post pictures of spiders or stories or anything that you heard on here on our Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter at BIAR Podcast. They are both the same thing. If you want to see the sources of anything that Whitney used to research this topic, you can go to our website at bugandrug.podbean.com. You will see this episode, the description, and then sources. You can also email us any ideas that you have for us to talk about at BIARpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely, and we look forward to hearing from you, and let us know what you think of our episodes.
Yeah.
Share them, tell your friends, yeah. Let us know what you want to hear about, and also, if you want to be a guest on the show, please let us know.
We'll hook you up.
We're
maybe.
Probably getting tired of telling each other's stories. I'm not yet, but I feel like there will come a time when Caitlin's tired of hearing about my creepy crawlies.
But yeah, just... give us a shout out, and you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, any of the above.
Yeah, we're on iTunes now. Yay! But yeah, and listen to our other episodes if you haven't already, because they are pretty great so far. We've had good feedback from the people that have listened to them, and we enjoy them, and our parents enjoy them, which is what's really important.
So all that's important.
That's all that matters. But no, just kidding, because we appreciate you guys as well and everybody that listens. So anyway, for the listeners out there, let us know if you are going to be kept up at night by these spider urban legends, or if you'll still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
Signing off, I'm Caitlin.
I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Bye.